2019 Astrology Studio. I have a few more transits to cover, and then I want to mention the Chiron return, which is happening in the lives of people born, currently people born in, I guess, around 68 through around 72, and then that will go in a wave. Basically happens when you are 50, 51 years old. Although for different reasons, including the fact that people have other planets typically, you know, clustered together in a sign, the return can go on for a while. And also Chiron is particularly slow right now because it takes a total of 9 years to move through Aries, but we'll get back to that at the end of this, and then I'm planning to do a separate project for Aries Chiron returns. To put some flesh on those bones. Okay, so a couple of follow-ups on the last discussion. Ultimately, dealing with your family is going to involve sorting through any of this of darkness going on, and you know that you are dealing with your family when you begin to succeed at doing what you want to do. When you get the money flowing, and when you are the primary authority in your life. Now, I recognize that to some extent, we are only partially in control of our lives, but the part that we are, the part that we can be, is essential to keep a handle on, and that is the thing that you are doing when you claim back authority from these various, let's say, entities that have in some way gained it and claimed it over you. And, you know, as you approach this core material that I've been describing, and as you get yourself in a position where you can actually be honest with other people, then that's when you're going to get to the melting point, and you'll know you can actually shape the metal and, you know, get a result that you want with the grace of God and a little bit of luck. Okay, so a couple of other significant transits. Let's briefly mention where all of this is heading. I cover this in tremendous detail in the Aries readings, of which there are three for intelligence. And just to mention this, the Aries reading, the Aries written piece for intelligence is, I think, one of my strongest pieces of astrological writing ever, and I would encourage you to avail yourself of it. It will come with the Capricorn reading, because we're including that with Aries, and much that I said in this reading will make more sense if you have a kind of a framework. And then there are the two Aries audio readings. And so there's a lot to cover here, but I'm going to sum up in this reading and take us out to the end of 2020. At the end of 2020, something really big happens, which is that on the winter solstice of 2020, 12/21/20, incredibly, on that day, there is a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in Aquarius. And these Jupiter-Saturn events happen every 20 years. By the way, the Pluto-Saturn one that I mentioned happens only about every 37 years in our era. So in 2020, we're getting a double. So that's one of the reasons why it's a very big year. Of course, we know that it is. We can feel it. The political situation that always seems to be coming to a head and never actually does. The economic situation, the environmental situation. Hey, we get to be here for all of this. But what happens at the end of 2020 is that Jupiter and Saturn, the two biggest planets, which together comprise 2,100 times the size of the Earth and more than 400 times the mass of the Earth. So if you combine Jupiter and Saturn, you could fit 2,100 Earths. And because those planets are a little fluffier than ours, it turns out to be 400 times the weight of the Earth. That is a lot of planet combining. And where they form this conjunction is in the first degree of Aquarius. And that is a place of reward for you. This is where you collect the benefits of all of this personal work that you will be doing, and the way you collect them. The mode is twofold. One is in a new social reality that you can actually abide, a social reality that is suited to who you are, and where you have one of those things on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is the need for relevance in your community, the need to have, I guess maybe what it was called status in that, but I don't mean it as status. I mean presence and relevance in your community. This is all but assured if you're able to do this family constellation work of Capricorn and this personal evolution work of Chiron Salacia in your own sign. And so this is something that, you know, whether you realize it or not, you're working toward, and that is, you know, this is as big as planetary conjunctions get, and 2020 is, you know, did I use the Game 7 metaphor yet? It's the big Game 7 in all of this stuff we've been, you know, going through in here in the digital age, in this crazy digital age. All right. Vital transit to be aware of is Uranus in Taurus. Taurus is your second place. If you're Aries rising, it's your second house by whole sign. If you're Aries sun, it is your second house by whole sign houses. So it is, for all purposes, the second from Aries. The second is resources. The second is your personal wealth, the tools of your trade, your values, your priorities, I believe your ethics, and your self-esteem. Taurus is a great planet to have on that house because it is so resourceful and stable. But now we've got something interesting going on, which is for the next seven years or so, Uranus is going to be in Taurus, and Uranus in Taurus is almost as close to the opposite of Taurus as you can get, because Taurus has this affinity for stability and tradition and propriety and focus, and Uranus just wants change and revolution. So you're likely to notice that your values are changing. You may feel like you are rebelling. Make sure that you are a rebel with a clue and a rebel with a cause. You don't want to just join any old uprising because it feels good or you know, tweet a lot or whatever it may be. You are actually growing and changing. There's actually a kind of an upheaval going on in your soul. This will present itself with interesting financial situations and financial opportunities. And there are two things I suggest that you do. One is actually, please don't speculate in financial markets. This is not the time. It's not the time for you to be speculating in financial markets. Or if you do speculate in financial markets, do it only with a portion of your resources, 20%. Something that if you lose it all, you'll survive. You might not like losing it all, but you would survive. So, you know, apportion your risk in a conscious way that you're willing to take. Second item is, I suggest you invest in yourself. I don't mean spend excessively, but I mean make sure that you do what you need to do to be properly equipped to do the work that you do, to have the proper space to do the work in, and that you focus your resources on your own projects. This is also your talent. Make sure you're doing work that is relevant for whomever you're doing it, and make sure that you collect in both knowledge and in money, right? And knowledge, I think, is the greater benefit of work rather than money, because you need to live, but you need to build for the future. So I'm saying that both are there, but make sure that everything you do is something that you learn from. And then, you know, focus your investment on yourself, rather than on someone or on something else. Let's consider the 12th house for a second. That's Pisces. And there's quite a bit going on here. There are tools here for you to do the legacy work that you're doing. I've suggested in the previous two parts of this reading that you, you inquire about the deep and distant past. And one of the ways to do that is to work the 12th house. The 12th house is the thing you work independently of other people. So when you're working your 12th house, it's unlikely that anyone else is going to be involved. This is the deeply personal part of the investigation. It's the personal part of the query, where you're going into your own consciousness and exploring your own kind of inner matrix and finding out what you find there. And I assure you that you will find out as much from doing this kind of inner exploratory work as you will find from doing outer exploratory work. And all of this stuff with Salacia and Chiron is going to point you inward anyway. And so I suggest you you go inward, and that you seek to observe what's going on in your consciousness. Seek to observe how you feel, how you want, what you want. Understand your desires in whatever form they may take, and you will find that in your inner realm there is a wellspring of creativity that is more or less infinite, that you can tap into, and that you can water this this whole process with, and cool this whole process with, because you have a lot of fiery stuff going on. I'm going to talk about more in a second, but with even just Chiron, Salacia currently reading during the Aries new moon, which happens in a couple of hours. So this is the moment I've chosen to do this reading. Even just that requires cooling, and water is the coolant, and Neptune in Pisces is providing a lot of water, and you're going to find that within yourself rather than, in other people, in relationships, or by socializing, whether it's meaningful or mindless. Your focus is very much on your growth and your development. And I suggest that you take some time every day, and then a long moment every week, and isolate yourself. One more house to consider here, and that is two more actually. The third house, you have a centaur number four. Now I've covered all four centaurs: Chiron, Pholus, Nessus is in your 12th, and now Aspolus is your the fourth centaur, and that's in Gemini. And this is an assured means of expression, and that means of expression is in writing. By all rights, you would be a very talented speaker and writer. It's an important resource, an important skill. And I know that, in one level, we seem to be in a kind of a golden age of journalism, but there's only really a few people doing that. And much of the rest of the population is experiencing a kind of severe meltdown of literacy, and I suggest you not participate in that, but rather that you use your literacy, your ability to read, to write, to express yourself, to communicate as a vital skill, that you respect it, that you develop it, that you know how to use a dictionary, that you proofread, that you edit, that you put a degree of impeccability into your written and spoken communication. You have a lot of potential here, and a lot of potential impact. This is associated with the square of Aspolus to Neptune, and then a square again or opposition from Gemini to the great attractor in Sagittarius. So you are a massive broadcasting unit right now, and when you're broadcasting, you want to make sure that the source material is good, and that is you. That is the way that you think, feel, and then you construct the words that express your thoughts and your feelings. Now, while we're on the subject of expressing, there is a major gift coming to you. And that is, you have Leo on house number five, place number five. This is just a natural thing about Aries in any form, whatever form we're talking about, whatever house system, whatever. The fifth place of Aries is Leo. And Leo is a fabulous thing to have in place number five, because it is so much about creative expression and the willingness to take the risks that are necessary. So one thing I didn't mention that I think I was thinking about when I was making tea was, you know, you're really doing something when you're actually taking a risk. The difference between thinking about something, fantasizing about it, imagining, thinking about whatever, is that there's a risk involved. There is a potential loss involved. And that's when you know you're in real territory. And what you've got going on right now in Leo is two slow movers. One is a slow mover, one is an ultra slow mover. Varuna, a physical planet discovered in 2000, a mighty one, a dwarf planet candidate, and formally named named for one of the former great gods of all creation, Varuna. And this is coupled in a long conjunction with a point called Vulcanus, which is about tapping into the power coming out of the Earth. And so bear that in mind, that all true creativity rises from deep within the Earth or deep within you, and you have access to this now, and it is your job to give yourself a voice, to be able to give yourself a means of expression. So bear in mind, this is not any kind of a luxury, though it can certainly be fun. All of the things we're talking about that involve expression are related to the fact that basically every aspect in the sky right now is a square. Whether we're talking about Aspolus square Neptune, or we're talking about Pholus Quaoar square Chiron Salacia, whether we're talking about Jupiter and Saturn square Eris, it is square upon square. And what squares thrive on is expression, the ability to, and the fact of, the action of expressing yourself. And so this is I don't think it's exaggerating too much to call it a matter of survival, because there is so much internal pressure, and these squares are so personal to you. Most of them involve Aries. You've got, you know, four or five different objects in Capricorn squaring just as many objects in Aries. This is about you bursting out of your previous constraints and your limits, and becoming this full on expressive being, and making a vow to yourself to never suppress your own energy, to never hold yourself down in any way. And recognizing, as I've talked about quite a bit, that there are challenges involved in doing this. Okay, brief mention of the Chiron return. At approximately age 50, it usually doesn't start too much before, but there can be some warm-ups, warm up to it. So let's say between about 49 and 52 is the return of Chiron to its natal position. So we're talking about people going through this now who were born basically between, I would say, 68 and 71. Right now. So that whole generation is turning 50. Some just turned 50. Some are turning 51. And some are leaning into it. And this is it is one of the key life transits. It's probably the most significant of the key life transits. The key life transits include a diversity of other Chiron transits that happen at different times, as well as Saturn return at 30, Uranian opposition at about 42, and then the Chiron return at about 50. And these are the major transition points in life, and they also tend to come with a healing crisis of some kind, particularly the Chiron return, and then that is preparation for a kind of transition into, let's say, full adulthood, you know, being fully of age at age 50. It takes a while to grow up, and this transition into 50-something is the transition into making sure that your life and, you know, your world are genuinely together, and that you have focused enough energy on your healing process to have rooted it, to know that it's a habit, that it's something that you do and that you live for, and something that you take seriously, something that you would never do without. So I'll have more on that as the seasons progress. As I mentioned, it's my intention to create a Chiron return reading for those who are going through that. And I want to thank you for being my customer or client. And if you have questions, you can reach me at efc@bookofblue.com. And I will do my best to reply. There is a tarot card reading that comes with this. There can be no rushing this. I do it at the right moment, so that could be anywhere between 2 weeks and 2 months from now. So think of it as a later on follow-up thing that arrives. When it arrives, we'll let you know when that is, but it's one of those things that I offer as a gift, and can only do it when the time is right. So that time will arrive, and we'll reach back out to you. But till then, I welcome your correspondence and your questions and your ideas. I wish you a very happy birthday and a very happy new moon, and I'll catch you on a different day.